Gospel according to Luke in chapter 6, verses 39 through 42. Jesus also told them a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, "Friend, let me take out the speck in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. For a few moments, I was fascinated by the image of the blind leading the blind. I don't know, of course, if you are blind. I am not. So I've not the remotest idea of what it might be like to be blind and to say or do something that might mislead those who share that condition. But that was for a few moments. Then I remembered, if I go on like this, Jesus will shake his head, smile sadly and think, there he goes, not knowing what he's talking about. He is blind in a sense, and he may be leading others who cannot be blamed for being any the wiser. On a day that Americans now tend to call 9/11, disciples of Jesus are, just like their non-believing brothers and sisters, tempted, I fear, to perform once more a speech we've been rehearsing now for 8 years. They are evil. They did shocking things to us in 2001. They must be sorted out, eliminated, got rid of. Hold it. There may be a blindness at work here, too. It may be from a heart and mind that are notably short-sighted that I speak. Yes, what happened in the United States of America this day 8 years ago was truly awful. It was evil. It was shocking. And wrongdoing is correctly punished in our societies. Christians have done a great deal to console those who were then bereaved, to build up once more a sense of hope and trust in humanity, in hearts and minds that were, for a time, shattered. Brothers and sisters of Jesus have played their part in assisting many to regain their sense of values, a sense of fair and right judgment, especially in hearts and minds that had been severely curtailed, even paralyzed, by the horror of what took place that day. But if there is anything more shocking still to consider, it is the word of Jesus of Nazareth in that Sermon on the Plains of his homeland, recorded by Luke. Jesus said things like, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who harm you. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Take the log out of your own eye first, then you may see clearly enough to remove the splinter in your neighbor's." This philosophy of Jesus is shocking stuff. It's not 8 years ago he first said it. Now, for close on 2,000 years, his disciples have been repeating it, and yet we are stunned by what we read. If we are on occasion blind and mislead others, how can we put things right? Firstly, I think by listening to Jesus, who proclaims a word of life and hope. Blindness is no hindrance to hearing or listening, let alone changing our minds and hearts for the better. Some will tell you the blind have a more eager and more accurate sense of hearing than others. The big bully at school does eventually leave the place. He may even grow up. Grow up, I mean, in the sense of burying the hatchet and becoming flesh in the sense of true humanity, with its awareness of and respect for others. But that big bully is replaced, regrettably, by others who harass and threaten the small boy or girl in the classroom or at the gathering of nations. And yet, Jesus' calm confidence in the ability of human nature to get it right was perhaps most evident when he forbade the harvesters to pull up the darnel in advance of the season of fall. "No, that's dangerous," he warned. "Tearing up the darnel, you might also tear up some of the good wheat in the process. Leave it for now. The harvest season will be judgment time, not yet. And it is the Lord who will be in charge of the harvest, not you or me, or anyone, for instance, whose notion of who is good and who is not are so fixed and fossilized that they've no life, no beating heart, no living brain cells at work, not a heart capable of conversion." Luke told much of what Jesus said. The extract we read today is still red hot. It is a fire in the Lord's heart longing to create an indelible character on your heart and mine. Let's be clear. Quite likely you have enemies. So did Jesus. It's the next step that indicates whether you are a pilgrim with Jesus. Not yet. If you are on the path with Jesus, you will find the path occasionally thorny, uneven, dangerous. If you choose another path, it may be better known, a wider boulevard where people walk in numbers, including those who are or choose to be blind, and are carried along by the force of fashion and the power of sheer numbers. Hope abounds still. Chapter 2 of 9/11 can still be written now by Christ's followers and others. A life lived in love, a life lived out of an energy for building segments of a society of mutual respect and an awareness of human dignity. That's the manner of life that might even lead to a scene in the final judgment where the Father says to you, "Oh, come in, you're welcome. I think I know who you are. Actually, you remind me of my son."